so much for the prayers and the celebration. Today is a special day because we are celebrating 15 years of miracles. 15 years of freedom, 15 years of souls being saved, 15 years of lives being transformed, 15 years of just staying with it. Because how many know it's a battle sometimes, you know? And so come on, give God a clap. We're going to celebrate a lot today, and I'm just so blessed this morning. And, you know, I get choked up when I just see the journey, because I know the battles at every phase. And I know that battle was never, listen to me, that battle was never about a physical building. Those battles were never about, you know, the LED screen. Those battles were for families. Those battles were for marriages, for young kids, for teenagers, for somebody that's going to take their life, but they didn't. Come on. That's what the battle was for the peace of God. And to see that today, I'm so blessed, because I remember 15 years ago, the night before I was going to speak, or Freedom House was going to start, and for like the first year, I would always, sorry for the picture here, but I always throw up before I preach. It's like game day for those of you, know what I mean? I was so nervous. I still get nervous, by the way. If you're like, do you get nervous? This is hard. If you want to try this, I'll just call you up right now. Amen. This is hard. And so, you know, I just like, I remember just wondering, like, God, I don't even know what's going to happen. And I'll be honest with you. People said we wouldn't make it. I was 26 years old when the church started, and I lived in my house. And people said, oh, man, that's a bunch of nonsense. And, oh, you guys are that club church. You know, come on, somebody. You know, you're this and that. And people would walk in and be like, are you the pastor or are you the kids pastor? Come on, somebody. Right? Who are you? But I'm going to tell you what. When it's centered on Jesus, when it's centered on the Holy Spirit, when it's centered on God's word, when it's centered on giving Jesus the glory, when it's not about a work of man, it's a work of God. We will see souls be saved, the church restored, territory taken. Come on, somebody. And lives forever changed in Jesus' name. And so, again, I'm just so honored today. I'm probably going to cry a lot all day today. I couldn't sleep last night. So I wear my shiny shoes, praise God, and I'm like, all right. But today I'm going to share really about who Freedom House is. Your first time here, welcome. You're going to have a cool service. You get to learn a lot about what the church is about. Not just what Freedom House is about, but what the church is about. And so, again, welcome. We're one church in many locations, Fullerton, Irvine, online, Espanol, soon to come to Anaheim. Clap, because we're live with our Irvine campus for our 10 a.m. What's up, Irvine? Sorry, love you guys. And I'm going to talk today about the church, about this thing we call the church. And, you know, over the years, church has become something that is, for a lot of people, kind of outdated. And our generation, I'm not talking about the young generation, so our generation, I'm talking about if you're alive right now, you're a part of this generation. But our generation, they're calling it the goodbye generation. What does that mean? That a lot of people are saying goodbye to church, goodbye to serving God. And for the first time in U.S. history, by the way, the church in America has the potential for the first time ever to be in American history to be on the decline. That church attended, people serving God, is going downward. So kind of what happened to Europe, how it was a very Christian nation, and now it's a godless nation. That's happening to America right now. But not on our watch. Come on, somebody. I said, not on our watch. Come on, somebody. Not on our watch, okay? Every year, there are over 1,000 churches that close in America. Every month, there are nearly well over 100 or so pastors that are quitting the ministry. And there is an attack on God's church. And so when I look upon what God's doing here, I know that this is not normal. I'm honored to be a part of this. And pray for pastors all across the world, okay? Not just thank you for your prayers, but pray, because one thing that's going to save this generation is definitely not going to be the government. Okay? It's definitely not going to be some political party. What's going to save this nation is the church of Jesus Christ. What's going to save this nation, come on somebody, is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Say amen. What's going to lead people is his word. And we're unapologetic about that. I've said that since day one. I was like, if they kick us off because we stream to YouTube and Facebook, and if they kicked me off because I'm talking about how marriage is between one man and one woman and genders, male and female. I said, listen, you guys don't know this, but we began Freedom House before there was social media, just so you know. We don't need social media to win souls. Come on, somebody, to preach the gospel and to do what God told us to do. Say amen, all right? So just so you know, that's how we roll up in Freedom House. So today I'm going to talk about the church. Someone say the church. Because God's plan for the world, listen to me now, is not a football team. However, we're going to watch football later. It's not a football team, okay? God's plan for the world, to save the world, is his church. It is his plan A, and there's no plan B. There's no plan C. God's not like, well, if the church doesn't work out, I got this backup plan, okay? The church is it. The church is the hope of the world. The church is what God manifests his wisdom to the world. And today I want to talk to you about how God is using his church and how we're all a part of it. Because when I say the church, sometimes we get a picture and you think of the building. But actually, no, the church are the people. Tell someone next to you, say, you're the church. Come on, tell the next person next to you, say, we're the church. Say, we're the church. Okay, remember? Here's the church, right? Here's the steeple. Open the doors and there's the people. Come on, somebody, all right? So I want you to grab your message outlines, and we're going to read this particular scripture, the commission that Jesus gave us. And by the way, tonight, before I go any further, we're going to have a big old legacy luau party at our Fullerton campus, Irvine, those watching online here. And so we got like fire people. They're going to do fire. Right here. Don't worry, it'll be safe. Okay, we also have a roasted Kahlua pig they're going to be doing in the front, and all kinds of fun stuff here for the kids. And it's just going to be a big old 15-year celebration. And as many of you know, we're in our legacy season, so there'll be some food to buy and things like that all go towards the new building. But coming out tonight, wear a Hawaiian shirt and hang out with us. I'll be here, and it'll be a lot of fun. Amen. So tell your neighbor, say, come hang. Come hang. Say, come hang if you're in the area. So grab your Bibles and stand to your feet, and let's read this morning. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. And we're going to read verse 19 and 20. And this is the Great Commission here of when God, Jesus is going to tell his disciples that are going to carry out the church. And I want you to see here what Jesus is going to tell us to do so that you know what we're trying to do, what God has commissioned us to do as a church, and why we've been doing this for 15 years, Sunday after Sunday. I actually went back and did the math, and I've preached nearly 1,500 sermons in 15 years. I've written and preached. It's been a while. To God be the glory, and I got a lot of library. Don't lose it. Okay, amen. But here I want to read to you Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 through 20. It says, Jesus told the disciples, he says, therefore go and make what? So watch this now. God's not calling us to make Christians. He's calling us to make disciples. Now, in definition, yes, we're called Christians, but a disciple is a disciplined follower of Jesus. It's a person who carries their cross. Tell the person next to you, say, we're disciples. Say, we're disciples, okay? He says, go and make disciples. In other words, disciplined followers of Christ, people that do what God's word says. He says, of all nations, of all what? So really quick, God tells us to change the world. So if you ever, like Freedom House, in a sense, I'll tell you, our mission statement is to change our world one life at a time. You might say, well, Pastor, that's a big vision. That's not my vision. That's God's vision. Okay? He said, go and make disciples of all the nations. So we're believing that all of America will be saved in Jesus' name. Come on, say amen. So he says, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Trinity here at Freedom House, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and we love the power of the Holy Spirit. Say amen. It says, and teaching them, that's why we love God's word, to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus told us to teach his word and to teach everything in his word. We're a Bible-believing church. I want to talk to you today, the title of today's, I don't know if I call it even a sermon. Today I'm going to call it a vision message. A bringing us back to why God saved us. Because God didn't save us to seat us. He saved us to send us and to use us. I want to talk today. The title of this message is, this is how we change the world. This is how we change the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Before I go any further into the message, Lord, or into this service, I just want to say thank you, God. Thank you for sustaining us. Thank you for for perseverance, God. It's not easy to serve you. It's not easy to build your kingdom. And I'm so grateful for every person that has put their hand to the plow with my wife and I, not to build our church, but to build your church, that has selflessly given of their time, their talents, their treasure, their resources, to see Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of God come to Southern California, where a lot of people have written off California, but Lord, we believe that California will be saved, and that God, you will make a way, and we will stay in the fight for your glory. So Father, to you be all the glory. We thank you, God, and today we celebrate your faithfulness, that if you can keep us in the fight, you will take us through it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Give God one more clap. You may be seated and just tell somebody next to you, say happy 15 years. Just say that, happy. If you're like, well, I've only been here 15 minutes. That's all good. Come on, somebody. I don't even know if I like this place. That's all right. Welcome. But I want to talk today really, like I said, about who we are. So I'm going to give you the first point right away because I got a lot of ground to cover. Point number one, write this down. This is our mission statement. And this is what God has called us to do. Our mission statement is this. Our God-given mission is to change our world one life at a time. To change our world one life at a time. So we talk about this at our starting point. We talk about this in our culture classes of who we are, really about who God is that God has commissioned us to change our world, and we say it, one life at a time. Now, why one life at a time? Because every person matters to God. Therefore, every person matters to us. Say this. I always tell you to bug your neighbor. That's the church we are. We like to participate. Just tell the person, say, you matter to God. Say this, say, you matter to God. And so if they matter to God, then you matter to us. And so we are unapologetically relentless on making sure that every person can come to know this Savior, Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit that God the Father has sent with his unrelenting love. And this mission really is not our mission, this is God's mission, okay? And simply what we have done as a church, and really all of us are called to this, is we have taken ownership of God's desire. God has said, go and make disciples of all nations. He has told us, go change the world for the effect of Jesus. This is what God has called us. And I'm gonna make a very bold statement, so pay close attention or else you're gonna be like, what did he just say, okay? Listen to this, okay? God does not have a mission for his church. Okay, let me jar your thinking. I'm going to say it one more time. God does not have a mission for his church. God has a church for his mission. I'm going to say it one more time. God does not have a mission for the church. God has a church for his mission. Does that make sense? But if we get it twisted, we think, well, Lord, what's your mission for me? God's like, no, you don't get it. You are for my mission. He's like, I saved you. I cleaned you up because we know how jacked up you were. Oh, we got three honest people here today. Come on. Well, no, you know, when God saved me, he got a trophy. Tell you never say, chill out. Right? Okay. We know God's like, when I saved you, when you were at your wit's end, when you wanted to throw in the towel, God said, I said, I'll take you broken. I'll take you lost. I'll take you confused. I'll take you full of sin. I'll take you when you don't even like you, God says, I'll take you. And he'll fill us with hope. He gave us freedom. He gave us his love. He gave us his power. He gave us his son. He gave us vision. He gave us purpose. Come on, who am I talking to this morning? He saved us. But he says, but I saved you for a purpose, for his mission. So God establishes his church for his mission. Because his mission existed before the church ever existed. Before it ever. And so this is what brings to life what we do as a church. Because what we exist for is not just to fill a chair or to fill a seat, but it's to fulfill God's mission for this earth, which is the only hope for humanity is Jesus. Amen to that. And we know that, okay? You can try everything else, it don't work. The only thing that changes people's lives is Jesus. Because you cannot legislate morality. Don't get me in this direction. But you cannot legislate morality. I don't care how many laws you pass, you won't change people's hearts. The law does not change hearts. That's the Old Testament. Laws do not change hearts, okay? Laws change behavior. But Jesus changes hearts. Jesus transforms minds. Jesus transforms desires. Jesus transforms, come on, willingness. Jesus is the only hope for humanity. And I even say like this, and it's only Jesus. Muhammad didn't change lives. Okay, come on, somebody. Muhammad can't change lives. I'll say it again, you hear me, right? Mormonism can't change lives. Why? Because they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and they don't believe in the Trinity, that the power of the Holy Spirit is what brings the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. I'm preaching this morning. Come on. I'm coming after all of it today. 15 years, y'all. Come on, somebody. Right? That won't change your life, okay? It won't change your life trying to worship some crystal, trying to get some new age stuff, trying to follow some type of a gem, trying to follow some feng shui. That stuff don't work. Why? Because the only thing is the name that is above all names. What's his name? That's it. That's it. It's the Savior of the world. And like we teach in our Bible college, shameless plug, starting next week, so I'm getting focused here. But we teach, no matter if you believe that Jesus is Lord, there has never been someone more effective in human history than Jesus Christ. Nobody. He's been the only leader that has changed the course of humanity. You know? His name is Jesus. Tell your neighbor, his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. So we take ownership of his mission. Lord, help me. We take ownership of his mission. And Jesus tells us this, that we have been a part of what this is, not to define who we are, but to help us understand who God is, so that we then fulfill the desire of God's heart, which then brings for us the purpose that we have been created for. Our God-given mission is to change our world one life at a time, and we want to see families change. We want to see perspectives change. We want to see generations change. We want to see families turn their hearts into who Christ is. Why? Because this is God's desire. Let me read you this verse here, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. Here's the heart of God. Listen to this. This is why the church exists. This is why we've been doing what we're doing for 15 years. The Bible says the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some has understood slowness. He says, instead, he is what? What is God? He is what? He is patient with who? How many are thankful God's been patient with you? Some of you should have got a lightning bolt a long time ago. I'm going to raise my hand right here. Come on, somebody. Long time ago, you've been like, I'm done with you. Okay? God said he's patient with you. Thank you, Jesus. But then watch, it says, not wanting anyone to perish, but what does it say here? Everyone to come to what? Repent. So God wants to save who? Only the cleaned up ones. God wants to save who? Everyone. He wants to save everyone in the city of Irvine. Everyone in the city of Fullerton. Everyone in the city of Anaheim. Everyone in crazy California. God says, I don't want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Every single person. So you think about the church and you say, wow, you know, the church is getting, you know, the church is kind of big. You know, it's like, no, what's big? Come on, what are you talking about? You go to SoFi Stadium, there's like 60, 70,000 people. Come on, somebody, you're right. And you fight for parking, you get there anyway. So it's, what are you talking about? God wants everyone saved. Someone say everyone. And this is God's heart. And what can happen to us is when we come to God, we're like, well, no, I think we're good now, Lord, because you got me. Why do you need anybody else, Lord? And it's like, excuse me? And we can become, I'm not saying you, I'm talking to the person behind you. Okay? It's going to go all the way to the back. We can become selfish. Yeah. Like, imagine if we went to I was at Disneyland or Uzi Fair. And I got four kids. And imagine if my daughter, Zara, was lost. And I go, Faith, Judah, where's Zara? And my son, Judah, says, well, Dad, you got me. We're good. It's three out of four, Dad. It's good. Chill out, Dad. We're good. You got 3 out of 4. And imagine if Judah's like, let's go get a churro, Dad. I'd be like, churro? Let's get on a ride. I'd be like, a ride? I love you, son, but right now, you're with me, you're protecting. But I'm more concerned about Zara, who's lost. Judah, would you help me look for my daughter that is lost? I know you're good. I know you got a churro and a little hat and you got a little ride, but would you help me find my lost child? And I believe God says to his church, I know you're good. You got your little place. You got your little goals. You're all fixed up, but would you help me look for my lost sons and daughters that are in Orange County, that are stuck on drugs, that are addicted, broken? Would you help me? Come on, somebody. This is the heart of God. And this is Freedom House. And so I said, all right, God, I'll be part of the search and rescue team, not just the churro team. Is there going to be churros tonight? Maybe. Hawaiian churros. I don't know. Legacy Lua. Put a pineapple on it. We'll do anything. We're like the little rascals right now, trying to build a clubhouse, you know? So, you seen that movie? Anyway, man eating chicken. Anyhow, my mind, focus. Tell your neighbor, say, be part of the rescue team, not the churro team. Say, be part of the rescue team, not the churro team. Come on. But that's what could happen. Is the church dies because we become a museum, not a movement. Because we look at all the things God did in our lives in the past. But a movement says, we're going to continue saving, looking for the lost. We're going to continue praying. We're going to continue fasting. We're going to continue expanding. We're going to continue moving. Why? Because there's some lost kids God has, and I want to help them find them. God says, I want everyone. Someone say everyone. This is why I preach every Sunday. You know, this is why we exist as a church. I love the church I was raised. I love it. I love it. Taught me a lot. I love it. But I know that when God called me, that I didn't want to just be part of a church or start a church that all we did was just have a kumbaya club. Like, I'm going to be honest, okay? It's 15 years, so I can do what I want. If you're looking for a kumbaya church, Freedom House is going to get on your nerves sooner or later. I'm just telling you right now. You'll be like, why are we always, like, getting buildings and stuff? Why are we always starting something? Why are we always having a conference? Why are we always, like, but why do they always want me to do something? I just want to go somewhere I could chill. Leave me alone. And there are some where you can find that. And I'm not knocking any church. We need every church, okay? But Freedom House, the type of church we are, is we're a devil stomping, tongue talking, fasting, praying, revival, prophesying, laying hands, delivering, demon chasing, territory taking, Walmart buying. Come on, somebody. Recovery House is coming. Freedom House is coming. We are soul-saving church that is going to establish God's kingdom right here in the devil's backyard in crazy California. Give God a shout of praise. Say hallelujah. Oh, God, help me. God, help me. Oh, Lord. Tell your neighbors, say, it's okay. We're going to be okay. Say, we're going to be okay. So how do we change the world? I want to share something with you that maybe you've never known about Freedom House. But Freedom House is not just a church. Okay? And I'm going to share something with you, what God showed me years ago that you probably have never known. But I felt the Lord say, share it with the church. This is something that I share, of course, with our campus pastors, our staff. And I felt the Lord to give you the picture. Because this is how we change the world. Freedom House is not just a church. Now, what I mean by that, okay, is that there are ways that God uses his church to spread his gospel. Freedom House has 5 things that we call legacy lanes, okay? So let me just give you, this for some of you that are like, you're a type A personality that's like, tell me 1, 2, 3, 4, you're going to love this part of the message, okay? You're going to be like, this fed my soul. I don't know about all that tongue talking stuff, but this one. Okay. But that too. Freedom House, first and foremost, is a church, okay? Say, we're a church. Now, what does that mean? That means that every week we hold Sunday and Wednesday services. This is what we do. We host the people of God every Sunday and every Wednesday. We have worship. We have kids programming. We have amazing greeters and parking team. Let's just clap for all the servants. Come on, somebody. We have a prayer team. We have, you know, a kids church. And this is weird Sunday. And then we're also multi-campus. And so the church part of establishing churches, the vision God gave us, is we're not just going to be one church. We're going to plant multiple campuses in multiple cities all over Orange County to affect change in each city for the cause of Jesus Christ. This is the church aspect, and most of you know that. Now, let me tell you what else Freedom House is. Freedom House is an education. Go to the next here. We are a Bible college and soon to come Freedom House Academy, preschool academy. Come on, somebody. Freedom House is an education. We have had over 550 unique people attend Bible College, Freedom House Bible College at Freedom House. Come on, somebody. Nearly 100 of those have graduated with their associates in biblical studies. And we're in education, so we're going to start a Christian school, affordable Christian education. Okay, this is who we are. And I'm showing you this because, see, some of you, you're going to feel called into different areas of how we change the world to establish His gospel and to change people's lives. So we're in education. We're a Bible college. Freedom House is also a conference. So we're a conference. Next thing here. So we do our church conference. We do our men's and women's conference. Women's conference coming up, by the way. And so many, many people, their first introduction to church is actually not on a Sunday, Wednesday service. It's at a women's conference. Some of you here, you know that. You're like, I got invited to this fiercely feminine thing, you know? And man, that power. And so we're a conference, and we plan on, of course, hosting those conferences in our new facility, but one day we're going to host those conferences, I believe, at the Honda Center, the Angel Stadium, all that stuff. Come on. It's men and women's conference. We do our marriage conference. We do our life camp. Our life camp, we have taken thousands of youth to have an encounter with God. Come on, not Coachella, Churchella. Come on, somebody. Amen. Thousands of youth. I want you to see this because God is going to call many of you into some of these legacy lands. Freedom House is also a worship music. It is in our heart to write original music, worship music. When you're going to pop it in and say, that's my Freedom House jam right there. And you hear the power of God. Of course, studio and creative arts that we want to do, all the videos. I'm telling you right now, we have some of the most creative video editors at Freedom House that tell the story. Come on, somebody. I don't know. Maybe one day we'll have Freedom House movie studios. Let's go. Come on, somebody. And then we're in outreach. Freedom House is an outreach. We do our Love Our Cities, our Easter outreach, our back-to-school event. We give away thousands of backpacks. This year, we had to put a pause. Obviously, we're trying to close escrow. We give thousands of backpacks away. Feed the Need. We do our Christmas Adopt-A-Home, and we give to global missions. And these are the five legacy lanes of Freedom House. So when you think of Freedom House, this is how we change the world, that we are going after souls. We're establishing this church, infiltrating education, having conferences, worship, outreaches, and we're trying to love a city back to life. Come on, somebody. Give God a clap. Now, I want to show you this because many of you, God, when you think of ministry, sometimes you only think of it as like Sunday morning. And many of you, God's going to call you to serve in some capacity of all that. Like of all of that. And some of you, I'll just be bold enough to tell you, your role is you're going to be the next Hobby Lobby. You're going to fund all this. I'm telling you right now, yeah. I believe somebody's going to catch this vision that you're going to say one day, you're going to say, Pastor, tell me how much that next campus is. I want your business is going to bless it. Come on, somebody. I'm going to raise my hand. I'll say, I want to do that for Jesus one day. Right? Some of you are going to be like, I feel called to be a teacher. You're going to be part of Freedom House Academy. Some of you are called to teach theology. You're going to be part of Bible college, right? Raise up more pastors and all of this. And so some of you are going to write music. Only if you could sing, though. We'll be honest with you, okay? So you're going to be there. You're going to be part of helping us capture the sound of the house. And it to be powerful worship music that this next generation will sing, or this current generation. And, of course, all of our outreach programs are, man, I love how our church, listen, we love, you saw what we did during COVID, it was amazing. and all that. So amen. Give God a hand clap. You can put that down. Amen. Let me read you this. I got to wrap this up. I'll keep talking into the next service. Let me read you this verse here. Matthew chapter 5. This is what Jesus told the church to be. Let me call the worship team back up here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. It says, you are. He says, you are. Jesus said, started from verse 13 if you can. I think that's my bad. I put 14. Put 13 if you can for me. Yeah, we'll start from 13. He says, you are the salt of the earth. He says, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? And this is the salt that adds flavor, not the salty, like some of you get salty, you know what I mean? He's like, this, tell your neighbor, don't be salty. Anyway, but he says, if it loses flavor, verse, next he says, it can no longer be good for anything except to be thrown in and trampled by men. Verse 14, he says, you are, what are you? You are the light of what? The world. A city on a hill that cannot be hidden. He says, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Verse 16, in the same way, someone say the same way. He says, let your light shine hidden. No, where? Before men, that they may see whose good deeds? Your good deeds, and give praise to who? Your Father that is where? In heaven. So how do we change this world? Point number two, write this down. You have to let our light, or your light, in fact, put the word your there. Let your light/life shine the reflection of Jesus. It's not enough for the church, for us to say, this is what we're going to do. It's what changes the world is when every individual person decides, I'm going to let my light shine, and I'm going to do good deeds that people will give God praise in heaven. It's every single one of us stepping into that purpose is letting our light shine. And I'm not talking about just, you know, song, this little light of mine. I'm talking about, like, you decide, I want to be part of the church radiating and shining bright in dark times. Okay, let me give you some theology real quick. Stay with me, okay? I'm almost wrapping up. Jesus said that the church would be a city on a hill, and that people would see the light. When do you see the lights of a city? When it's dark. Are we living in some dark times? When does the world need the church to shine brightest? Right now. And what is so interesting about this text is that Jesus is saying the city is going to, the light's going to shine bright, and people are going to see your light. Okay, you get that? People are going to see your light in dark times. Then Jesus said, they're going to come to give praise to your Father. This is the other side of the Great Commission. Because we often heard it, yes, Jesus says, go and tell people and preach the gospel. Yes. But the other side, God also says, build him a city, metaphorically a church, a community, a people, that shines so bright in dark times that people that are lost, they don't know where to go, that we have built for God such a city, come on somebody, such a movement that when they feel broken and they're scrolling Instagram, they go, I need to go to that place. When they're driving down the highway and they see backpacks being given away, they're like, I need to go to that place. When they see you at your workplace, go, what changed your life? You're like, I went to this place. It was a city on a hill. I mean, it shined so bright that my light got I got nourished. I found community. I found love. It's that city on a hill. It's where we build. Watch this now. And this is what the church is. We build God's house to where the world sees it. And they go, that's where I want to go. And that was our vision, to create a church that people actually want to come to. That's our vision statement. Now you got to look at our whole statement holistically, right? Change the world one life at a time. But our vision was, God spoke to me, to create a church people want to come to. And we said this, imagine a church you actually want to go to. Like, imagine a church where you look forward to being at. Where you go, I can't wait to be there. I said, imagine a church where it's the highlight of your week. Where you don't go to church, but you actually go to church. I can't wait to go, man. It feeds me, man. It feeds me, man. That's the church we set out to build 15 years ago. And that's the church we want to be. I believe that's the church we are. That's the church. It's that city on a hill. And I want to prophesy this last verse, Isaiah 60, verse 1. I'm going to wrap it up here. Would you put it on the screens for me? Because I want everybody to read it. I'm going to prophesy this to our church. That the next 15 years is a new era I believe God is releasing upon us. A new expansion where God has counted us faithful. But I know to whom much is given, much shall be required. That there is a change of the guard in Orange County where the former patriarchs, and you know who they are retiring as pastors in Orange County, and they have carried the mantle in Orange County for 40 years. And I believe that Freedom House is going to be one of the churches in Orange County and to the ends of the earth that will carry it for the next 40 years. Amen. I'll take the four claps. That's all right. Amen. The next 40 years. I used to wonder why God called me young, because I was like, man, Lord. But now I know, because I'm only 41. The older generation says, you're a kid. Thank you. But my kids say, you're old. Anyway, so, but 41, so I can give God another 40 years, you know? Another 40 years to God be the glory. Hey, come on, to God be the name. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1. I want to prophesy. Watch what the Bible says. He says, arise. And I prophesy, Freedom House Church, arise. Freedom House Church, I don't care if you've been here 15 years, 10 years, 3 years, 1 year, or 15 minutes. I declare to you, it is the season to arise and shine. It's time to arise and shine. This is no time to be a sit back Christian. This is, the world's in some dark times. The world is visceral. There is an attack of the enemy upon the next generation. I don't got to tell you all that, you know, but I prophesy it is time for Freedom House to arise and shine. It's time for Freedom House to arise and shine. For the light has come and the glory of the Lord is rising upon this house. And I declare that the latter glory be greater than the former glory. That the next 15 will be greater than the previous 15. That God's glory is arising on this movement. Go to verse number 2. He says, see, darkness covers the earth and a thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. That the glory of God is going to be over your home. It's going to be over this church. It's going to be over your marriage. It's going to be over your future kids. It's going to be over your business. The glory of God, where you're going to say, to God be the glory. To God be the glory for the marvelous things he has done. Go to the next verse, verse 3. He says, nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. God is going to bring the nations, say, they don't have no light. They tried this, they tried that, and it didn't work. They're going to have to come to the true light of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. And kings will be drawn to the dawn. What does that mean? I believe people of influence that have been lost are going to get saved at Freedom House Church. May congressmen get saved. Come on. May the most liberal atheist congressman get saved. May the senator get saved. May the governor get saved. God, bring salvation to everybody. May the mayors get saved. Come on now. Lord, bring them. And verse number 4, last one here. He says, lift up your eyes and look about you. Look about you. He says, all assemble and come to you. Your sons will come from afar. And I prophesy your prodigal children that are not saved yet will be saved in Jesus' name. He says, and your daughters will be carried on the hip. Raise your hands towards heaven. Father, I pray right now, God. Thank you for saving us. You have a church for your mission. And God, forgive us if we've been more focused on the metaphorical churros, Lord. If we have become stagnant in our Christianity, that we are more concerned about what we get out of it instead of partnering with you to find your lost sons and daughters. This is why the church exists. This is why, God, the church exists. God, you put gifts and talents in many people, and the sound of my voice, that have been dormant. I declare to you, arise and shine, for your light has come. It's time for you to shine. Stop living small.
Stop thinking small. Stop focusing on your own hangups and take that step of faith that people are gonna say, look at what God did in your life. Stop living. Stop being afraid of your own light. I don't know who that's for, but stop being afraid of your own light. Let God use you. Don't let the enemy put you in shame, regret. Don't let him put you in guilt or condemnation. It is the season to arise and shine, for the light of God has come. The glory of the Lord is going to shine upon you and your children. Father, I thank you. I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, because we, God, know that you have chosen us for such a time as this.